When he was sure his mother was asleep, Tim went down the little bit of back hall to where Big Kells's trunk, a squarish shape under an old remnant of blanket, stood just outside the mudroom. When he told the Covenant Man he knew of only two locks and tree, the Covenant Man had replied, "Oh, I think thee knows of another." He stripped off the blanket and looked at his stepdad's trunk, the trunk he sometimes caressed like a well-loved pet and often sat upon at night, puffing at his pipe with the back door cracked open to let out the smoke. Tim hurried back to the front of the house, in his stocking feet so as not to risk waking his mother, and peered out the front window. The yard was empty and there was no sign of Big Kells on the rainy road. Tim had expected nothing else. Kells would be at Giddy's by now, getting through as much of what he hadn't left as he could before falling down unconscious. "I hope somebody beats him up and gives him a taste of his own medicine. I'd do it myself were I big enough." He went back to the trunk, padding noiselessly in his stockings, knelt in front of it, and took the key from his pocket. It was a tiny silver thing the size of half a nuck and strangely warm in his fingers, as if it were alive. The keyhole in the brass facing on the front of the trunk was much bigger. "The key he gave me will never work in that," Tim thought. Then he remembered the Covenant Man saying, "'Tis a magic key. It will open anything, but only a single time." Tim put the key in the lock, where it clicked smoothly home, as if it had been meant for just that place all along. When he applied pressure, it turned smoothly, but the warmth left it as soon as it did. Now there was nothing between his fingers but cold, dead metal. "After that, 'tis useless as dirt," Tim whispered, then looked around, half convinced he'd see Big Kells standing there with a scowl on his face and his hands rolled into fists. There was no one, so he unbuckled the straps and raised the lid. He cringed at the squeak of the hinges and looked over his shoulder again. His heart was beating hard, and although that rainy evening was chilly, he could feel a dew of sweat on his forehead. There were shirts and pants on top, stuffed in any which way, most of them ragged. Tim thought, with a bitter resentment that was entirely new to him, "It's my mama who will wash them and mend them and fold them neat when he tells her to, and will he thank her with a blow to the arm or a punch to her neck or face?" He pulled the clothes out, and beneath them found what made the trunk heavy. Kells's father had been a carpenter, and here were his tools. Tim didn't need a grown-up to tell him they were valuable, for they were of made metal. "He could have sold these to pay the tax. He never uses them, nor even knows how, I warrant. He could have sold them to someone who does, Haggerty the Nail, for instance, and paid the tax with a good sum left over." There was a word for that sort of behavior, and thanks to the Widow Smack's teaching, Tim knew it. The word was miser. He tried to lift the toolbox out, and at first couldn't. It was too heavy for him. Tim laid the hammers and screwdrivers and honing bar aside on the clothes. Then he could manage. Beneath were five axe heads that would have made Big Ross slap his forehead in disgusted amazement. The precious steel was speckled with rust, and Tim didn't have to test with his thumb to see that the blades were dull. Nell's new husband occasionally honed his current axe, but hadn't bothered with these spare heads for a long time. By the time he needed them, they would probably be useless. Tucked into one corner of the trunk were a small deerskin bag and an object wrapped in fine chamois cloth. Tim took this latter up, unwrapped it, and beheld the likeness of a woman with a sweetly smiling face. Masses of dark hair tumbled over her shoulders. Tim didn't remember Millicent Kells. He would have been no more than 3 or 4 when she passed into the clearing where we must all eventually gather, but he knew it was she. He rewrapped it, replaced it, and picked up the little bag. From the feel, there was only a single object inside, small but quite heavy. Tim pulled the drawstring with his fingers and tipped the bag. More thunder boomed. Tim jerked with surprise, and the object, which had been hidden at the very bottom of Kells's trunk, fell out into Tim's hand. It was his father's lucky coin.